Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you live here from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendez. We've got a packed studio here in SG7 as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Birmingham City. Finally, we're back from the international break. Joining me in the studio, and I'll tell you, this is the most packed studio we've ever had. On my right-hand side is Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, mate. You're right.
Yeah, good. Have you had a good international break?
No, I always miss it, so I'm happy to be back more than anything.
We're glad to have you back.
Oh, that's nice.
Also here is Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all right, thank you.
How was your internet? Did you just spend the entire fortnight thinking about Johnny Williams?
Pretty much, but that's no different to a normal week.
Yeah, so, excellent.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, it's a chance. In fairness, there's not a game to concentrate on, so you could concentrate on Johnny Williams.
Yep.
Also here, making a bizarre appearance on a Thursday. We never see you on a first date. It's Terry Smith. I thought you were just here to deliver chairs.
I'm normally in bed on a Thursday. Yeah. It's just going past my cocoa time.
There are people saying we'll let him out for the
evening. Yeah, I was going to say. I didn't realise Thursday was your special evening tale. But, yeah.
Well, they get few and far between. When
you're and so good to have you here. And you did bring tidings of new chairs
Not just tidings of new chairs. And I've done something else because Tom put down the dream team has returned. And that got a few barbed reactions from other erstwhile members. Not least, Garmy head chef, our Mark.
Oh, current one.
Who took the ump because he said, "That's it, no more food. Don't worry, boys."
No, there we go. And also back in the studio as well is Mr. Nathan Miller. Nathan, good to see you back. How you doing?
Living the dream.
You're always living the dream, mate. You're unstoppable. Yeah, Terry is now opening donuts on the...
I slaved. No, none of this... Mark cooking. I slaved over a hot, Greg's counter.
What, Greg's counter?
Yeah, Greg's counter. He doesn't know yet.
Over Greg's counter.
So there we are. Donuts, stuff. People.
Well done. Perfect timing. So on tonight's show, we will be getting ready to look ahead to Birmingham. First of all, we're going to hear it from Lee Bayer on the Lyle Taylor situation. Those of you with camera phones... everyone with a camera phone apparently spotted Lyle Taylor on his journey from Ebbsfleet to the training ground. So we'll hear from Lee Bayer what the situation is with the Lyle Taylor injury, because that is obviously big news. As the show goes on, we'll talk about a couple of the headlines that have happened during the international break. We're going to hear from Ritesh Mishra ahead of the Charlton Athletic women's team's game with London City Lionesses on Sunday. Then we will turn our attention to the home game with Birmingham on Saturday. We're going to hear from Brian Dick from the Birmingham Mail, and of course Lee Bayer himself will give us a preview from a Charlton point of view. Right, so first things first, Lyle Taylor has come back from international duty with Montserrat with an injury. We all want to know what the situation is. Lee Bayer gives us the update right now.
No, only Lyle. He came back with a bit of a knock, so we've put him in a brace, just precaution. We'll be looking to get him back out on the pitch tomorrow. Hopefully he comes through that okay and be available for Saturday.
There we go, Lee Bayer. Not giving too much away with the Lyle Taylor injury situation, Tom. How worried are you? Is it mind games? Is he fine? Is he going to be out for the rest of the season? Who knows?
Definitely not the rest of the season. But I am worried because obviously he's our main goal threat. But at the same time, I'm kind of weirdly interested to see how we get on without him, because there's a strong chance we're going to lose him in January, and there's every chance at any point he could get injured anyway. So we need to be a team that can cope when he's not there. So I'm interested to see if we can. With no disrespect to Birmingham, you know, they're not Leeds, they're not Swansea, they're not some of the tougher teams we've got coming up. So for me, it's an opportunity to give him a rest and see how we get on with someone like Hemed up there. Chucks, who we were all saying just a minute ago, played really well against Reading. trying somebody else up there and see how they get on. But if it is an injury, then hopefully it's not too long because he's such an important player.
Yeah, I mean, you say no disrespect to Birmingham. I'm thinking of making it a Charlton Eye policy that we are more disrespectful to our opponents ahead of a game. Mind games. Thank you, Tom. Nath, I mean, Boyer's sort of hinting there's a possibility to be about on Saturday. We've seen situations like this before. I remember Igor Vetekele last season in the build-up to the playoffs where it was a little bit of, oh, we hope he'll be back Saturday, we hope he'll be back. He was out for the rest of the season. It was a well-known fact. I mean, do you think that could be the case here? Because also, I mean, it just puts that little bit of doubt into Birmingham's mind about how, if we are going to have a certain player on Saturday, does that affect them too much?
I think in this day and age, obviously, the news would have reached old Brummyland. And they'll probably prepare in both scenarios if he does play and if he doesn't. The only good thing, I think, if Taylor doesn't play is that they've not really seen too much of Hemed or Chucks playing consistently throughout the... So they might not actually know how we're going to set up if Lyle don't play. But if he does play, you know, judging by his RoboCop boot, it doesn't look like he is, but I think you've got more chance of Corey Gibbs getting a game. But but yeah, like Tom, you know, I want him to play, of course I do, but I ain't, you know, it's not the end of the world, is it?
Yeah, I mean, if it is one or two games, Lewis, I guess that's something we will be able to deal with. We have got a little bit more backup now than if this was last season. You know, remember the absolute panic and how poor we were in that situation where Taylor was suspended and kind of just gone last year. If this was last year, we'd probably be in a tighter spot.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But as Nathan Thomas said there, it's a great opportunity for the likes of Hemed and Chucks and EK as well to you know, cement a bit of a place and boost their competition for a starting berth. Because, you know, there is every possibility we are going to lose Lyle in January. So we've got to prepare for that somehow. Because I think it's pretty inevitable that it's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see how we set up. I think Chucks was really impressive against Reading. Hemed I've not seen a huge amount of yet, but I think he got a couple of minutes for Israel in the break. So he may come back a little bit sharper. But we've got the players there and a lot better squad than last season. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah. I mean, Tal, we know he's in this sort of boot situation as a precaution. So it could be that he plays Saturday. I mean, again, do you think like mind games like this are something that's worth deploying sometimes?
They don't hurt. I mean, if anything, the goalkeeper won't know how to face a penalty now, because he'd have probably been training for 2 weeks on how to defend Lyle's penalties, and somebody else is going to take one, assuming we get one. Yeah, I think managers don't like playing their hands too early, do they? And so I don't even know how much Bowen knew of the injury and the extent of it until Lyle walks through the door and has a word with the physio. So the boot thing, I mean, you can buy them on eBay, can't you? So if it's a genuinely bad one, or if it's just, oh, I feel a tweak, let's protect it on the off chance. We'll only know when we know.
It goes to show, Tom, there's absolutely no hiding places for footballers these days. If you're getting on the train, there's going to be a Charlton fan with a camera phone, isn't there? One I knew as well, actually. We had the photo sent quite early.
Yeah, and you see it the same with transfers. We obviously had the breaking news from your dog walker mate who saw saw people at the training ground. It's just the way it is now. You don't get away with it. And like Nath said, you know, Birmingham aren't going to not know how Chucks and EK plays or have never seen Hemed play. The data that they've all got now, they're going to be able to study players. People are going to be up to date with what's happening. So unless Bowyer has said to Montserrat, can we have him back early, but can you put him in a brace so it looks like he's injured and has played a massive mind game, then we have to assume that, you know, it's not great news, but hopefully it's not too serious.
Yeah, I mean, Nath, the start to the season we've had, you feel this could be something that derails it. He's been one of our, I mean, he's our top scorer, obviously got the most goals last season as well. This is obviously the knockback that we were fearing at the same time. If he is going to be out for a while, again, we still don't know, but it's how we react to playing without him as well that's important.
Yeah, and that's why you have a squad. I know, obviously, Tom Hemed isn't probably 100% fit, I would imagine, but he's a Premiership player. You know, I think he's a very good player, and to have him and Chucks, Lou said just now, it's a chance for them to step up, because we can't just keep relying on... I know it's easy for us to keep relying on Lyle, but sometimes you're going to get suspensions and get little injuries, and it's how you react to it. And, you know, I think we're going to smash them on Saturday. I really do. I think we're going Champions League for years. No, but you know, it's time for everyone to step up to the plate and... you know, Johnny Williams will get injured. Don't cry. But and I think and that's what we've got to deal with, these sort of situations throughout the whole season, because it's a long season.
Yeah, we had a couple of tweets that came in actually during the week as well. Cappuccino saying, "Give me a shout out. Oh, yeah. I'm listening to Charlton Live in St. Barts following heart surgery. So a temp absence from the Valley. So I hope you're feeling better soon, Cap. F. James, welcome back. You've been missed. We are now in the most critical phase of our season. I believe we will continue the brilliant momentum and take at least 7 points from 9, and we regroup and assess after. I know if Bowes gets manager of the month, the jinx is broken. As for my now obvious dislike of Taylor," that's Ev's words there, not mine, obviously. "Let's hope while he still wears our shirt, he gets us the goals by January and gives us a fighting chance. He can go to pastures new with my blessing and a boot up the backside while I'm at it." I mean, Ev has mentioned his displeasure about Lyle Taylor before.
A blessings and a boot.
Yeah, I mean, well,
it's double jeopardy anyway.
Yeah, but
you
I mean,
somebody in to say hello to him, and then you give him a kick.
I mean, we've had this discussion a couple of times now. I mean, mainly because Ev's brought it up. But I mean, we all know what happened in Jantel in the summer. Sorry, with Taylor not going to Brentford, and he's still here and he's scoring goals. So I mean, yeah, he might have a bit of a moan on Twitter about something or other at some other point, but surely the main reason we've signed a football player is for him to go out and play football on the pitch.
Look, a lot of people have said this off air. A lot of people have said about there's a comparison between him and Parker, for example. You know, players just throwing a strop and wanting to leave. And he may well have thrown a strop. He had a few words with some people on Twitter and then went off it for a while. That's entirely his option. But the point is when Scott Parker, for example, was refused the possibility of going, he threw a strop and refused to play for us again and demanded the move. Lyle Taylor didn't get his move, which would financially have meant a huge amount. I mean, an absolutely huge amount. Didn't happen. As he might have thrown a strop off the pitch, but on the pitch, he's done exactly what we want him to do, and he's knuckled down and put the performances in. Mm. And I don't think you can criticise him for that. Mm. If he goes in January, it's horrible. I'd rather him stay. But at least while he's been here, he's put a shift in.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, I mean, Lewis, it was also mentioned there about the Manager of the Month award for Lee Bowyer. Bowe's up for that. Taylor's up for Player of the Month. I mean, I can't see a winner beyond Lee Bowyer for Manager of the Month, surely. I mean, you look at the Swansea manager, of course, obviously they're top of the division, but surely we are more unexpected than that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think if it's awarded to anybody but Lee Bowyer, it would be a bit of a... Which would be ridiculous, really.
It'd be a travesty.
It would be, yeah. But then also, I do think from the Swansea side as well, they were sort of written off a little bit. The guy there at the moment who's got it, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But
yeah, don't even know his name. Get rid of him.
Don't even know his name. Get rid of him. Yeah.
Steve Cooper.
Yeah, he's come in and again was probably written off as he went in there because he didn't have a huge amount of experience. So he's obviously overachieving, but nobody is overachieving as much as we are. You know, we're written off as relegation favourites before we'd even kicked a football, and now we're up in the top two and teams are starting to take us seriously. So it's a really good statement and just shows how good of a job everybody's doing, and credit to Bowen, credit to Lyle as well. They both deserve it.
Now, someone else who's been doing a very good job. In the time we had off, some breaking news was that Steve Gallen was made director of the football club. Now, it seems like good news. I mean, he's done a brilliant job with his transfer work, Tom, and that sort of stuff. So obviously, congratulations to him. Straight away, everyone's going, well, what's this got to do with this then? Yeah, how does this affect the takeover? How does this affect what Roland du Châtelet seems to be thinking behind the scenes? But the fact is, there's very little we can really work out from that. But it is good news for Steve, and it feels like good news for the club as well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not bad news. That's the way to look at it. And for anyone who's got Valley Pass, I'd urge them to watch the interview with Ollie Groom that Ollie did this week, because it's fantastic and gives just real insight into him as a man and how he's got to where he has. But Ollie asks him that question in there, and he says, to be honest, not much of my day-to-day changes. I guess what you can say is he gets a seat at that top table now, so perhaps gets more of a view in the overall strategy of the club or the club as a company and where that goes. So I know he's not necessarily a Charlton fan, but with everything he's done for the club, it's hopefully someone else who gives a footballing voice to that strategy. And that's obviously important, because Roland isn't looking at us like that. He's looking at us very much as a business sense. So to that end, perhaps he's going to have more of a say in that. I don't know, you know, with things like the takeover, how much involvement he'll have or what he'll be able to contribute to that point. But to be given that step up, I guess that helps. And also he talks about the fact that
now that he's a director, he can approach different clubs or people at different levels at other clubs and have more conversations with them, as opposed to just saying, oh, I'm the head of recruitment. He can say, well, I'm one of the directors at Charlton. And hopefully that might, our transfer dealings have been very good anyway, but hopefully it will give us an extra edge in that sense as well.
Obviously Charlton have been suffering from, well, not suffering as such, or suffering, and but it hasn't really affected us, it seems, too much. But we don't have some of these big positions filled, like the CEO or the head of finance. So to get someone in a more senior position, Tel, does feel like it needs doing, but it still sort of doesn't really paper over the fact that we still don't have these people. And the longer, I mean, Steve Gannon sort of said himself, he can't have another transfer window like the one he's just had, where he's had to do everything.
You do wonder whether Johnny Jackson's going to be made CEO, Grant Bayes is going to be the chief financial officer, because that's the way it seems to be going. As Tom said, it's not bad news. Steve Gannon's been absolutely superb for us. And so whatever the reasons behind it, and I don't think anybody really will know until the dust settles somewhere down the line, why ever he got it, it's great because, again, as Tom alluded to, he's done a fantastic job just as recruitment, and B, he's been a marvellous servant for the club, and people respect him. So if he carries that into the directorship role, then fantastic.
I mean, does it give away anything in terms of the takeover, Nath? Does this say, well, actually starting to fill more senior positions, it doesn't mean there's a takeover anywhere near? Or does it say, oh, he's filled a senior position just so everything's smooth for the takeover that's happening next week? I mean, does that give away anything, or are we just...
I don't know. I think a lot of people will probably start thinking how great Roland is, probably, with a decision. I don't think it makes a blind bit of difference. I think if Roland's already said that he wants to sell, but he's only going to sell it once he gets a price that he believes is true and representative, which everyone's opinions are different, but he obviously has something different. I can't see it affecting a takeover. I agree with Tom, where I think it opens up so many other doors to other clubs at different levels, including recruitment, because you have that job title is a bit, obviously it's a lot more seniority in it. So I think we're all hoping the takeover happens, but I don't think it's going to be like happening next week.
No.
Or anything like that, just because Steve Gallen's now a director.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I mean, something I've noticed, Lewis, over the last few weeks, which I found quite interesting, is obviously we've had a great start to the season after getting promoted. But there are still these issues sort of off the field with, you know, lack of these, lack of long-term thinking perhaps with a lot of the players, although this year that does seem to have changed a little bit with more two-year contracts being given out, but still the manager and the coaching staff are on shorter contracts. Yes, there was a lot of bodies that came in the summer that had to be because there was a high turnover of players in the summer, but still we have the lowest budget in the Championship according to Lee Bowyer. Now, do you feel like I've seen a lot of comments online, you know, on other shows as well, perhaps, where people are saying, "Oh, maybe Roland's learnt his lesson now." I mean, has there been any signs that he's really had much to do with anything that's gone right here? Because still in the summer we had that situation with Bowyer, and like I said, we still got the lower end of the budget to work with. We've still had, you know, Roland making some strange comments over the last few months. Do you feel like anything's changed, or is it purely down to what's happening on the pitch that people are maybe just not concentrating so much on what's happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think the on-pitch results is a good distraction for what's going on upstairs. I think I don't believe that Roland can take any credit for where we are now. I mean, of course, maybe he's put his hand in his pocket a little bit, his very shallow pockets, we'll say. We're saying about turning down the Lyle move, which financially would it have benefited us? It would have done, but they're talking about spending the money on someone else anyway. The sanction of the move for Dick Steele was from the footballing side of it, so again, he probably didn't really have a huge amount of involvement there. And getting the players in, we haven't really spent anything. We spent a bit of money on Macaulay Bonn and probably a fractional amount of money on Ben Purrington, but apart from that, I don't think we've spent any money on a fee. It's just been clever recruitment and decent loans and good relationships with other clubs. You know, Chelsea have obviously looked at what we've done with the likes of Christian Bielik and Josh Cullen and put the confidence in us to develop Conor Gallagher, who's turning out to be a revelation. Again, Cullen's been sent back here for the fantastic job that Bowyer and Jacko did with him last season. And it's building those relationships. People see from the outside looking in. Again, even Johnny Williams is willing to take a cut in money to stay here. he's now developing and getting man of the match for his national side, just like Josh Cullen is. So I don't think Rowland can take any credit for where we are. I just think it's clever strategy from Steve Gallen, from Lee Bowyer, about getting the right players in. You know, we've never, as a club, we've never spent big bucks. So there's always been the ethos to bring in a player that suits the Charlton model, and that's what they've done on a shoestring budget. So I think we've just not got lucky. We've been clever in how we've approached the season. We're lucky that we've got somebody like Lee Bowyer that has the pull that he has to bring in young, talented players and earns the trust of those bigger Premier League sides to loan out their talents to us.
I have a gut feeling about this that it was more to do with the fact, I personally think anyway, that it's more to do with the fact that at some point, De Châtelet thinks the club is going to be sold. He said it's his number one priority. He had interested bidders. And so he thought, well, I'm going to sell it anyway. So you've got a budget. This is your budget. You work within your budget. I'm going to completely leave it to you. I don't have nothing to do with the footballing side of things at all because I'm selling. And I've got interested parties. Of course, then he put the price up, which affected matters. But what it has done is allowed Bowyer and Gallen to pick out the men, work within the budget they've got. I think the Taylor thing didn't add up for a numerous number of reasons. One, because we needed to get a player in. Two, possibly it wasn't cash up front, like the Dixdale money, which I believe was. So that is of less interest. Whether or not that's still the same kind of journey, because it would appear, because he put the price up, there are no interested parties anymore. They've gone. So whether he still has the same opinion come January, when offers come flying in for whoever, will be very interesting to see.
Mm.
If he still remains outside of it.
Yeah,
well, especially if it's cash up front.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, the Big Match Preview. We'll be back in 30 seconds or so.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there, Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Charlton.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview live on your Thursday evening, or of course via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget to make sure you subscribe to the podcast in your Acast app or your iTunes podcast app as well. Get our show downloaded to your phone automatically twice a week during the, not during the international break, because that's when we're having a rest. But you'll be pleased to know, well, I'm pleased to know, and I'm pleased to tell you, that our podcast download record, which I thought would never be beaten the month of the playoffs where we got 20-odd thousand, I thought there's no way we're going to get anywhere near that, because our previous record was like 13,000. August this year, we've already broken that again, so loads of people are listening in, so make sure you've you join the party and hit subscribe, and make sure it gets downloaded automatically twice a week to your phone or device. Now, it's been the international break, as you all know. We've had a couple of weeks off. A couple of our players absolutely excelled during international break. Josh Cullen and Johnny Williams both were the proud recipients of Man of the Match awards during games for their relative countries, and Lee Bowyer said he was very pleased with how his charges have been performing on international duty.
Yeah, and for me, looking on the outset, for myself, I'm really proud, you know, because like obviously Josh Cullen making his full debut, Johnny Williams getting back into the squad and getting man of the match also, like the pair of them, like you said, got man of the match. So for me being their manager, it's a really proud time because they was both playing 23 football. So, but now Johnny looks like a completely different machine this season to the Johnny Williams that we got in January. He looks a lot fitter, a lot sharper, and that's why I'm guessing he got his start the other night and got man of the match, which is great for him, you know, to put his face back in the picture. And obviously Josh been given a chance and he's earned it. He's done really well for us, and so yeah, they should be proud, and so should their families.
So there we go, two of our stars on international duty performing really well, both getting man of the match in their relative games. I'm going to start off with Josh Cullen, Tell, since you're the Irish expert in the studio. You know, man of the match, he would have been really pleased with that. on his debut right. as well, which is on his full debut for Ireland. I mean, that's one hell of a performance from him.
That's a double-edged sword. I mean, I don't think any of us are surprised, are we, in the performance he put in. The Irish public would have been surprised because we wouldn't have seen that much of him. The West Ham fans would have been surprised because they wouldn't have seen much of him, and they're probably all thinking, why is he on loan? And that's what worries me, because if he carries on, well, we know how good he is, but if he carries on putting performances like that on the telly and in front of a big audience, then you know, West Ham might come calling back in January, and I don't want that. And that's the way international breaks are for me. I normally look forward to a bit of a break, watch a bit of football without too much pressure, but we've got so many players on international duty, and Johnny Williams is the same. He's now on fire for us. Fortunately, he can't go anywhere this year. But, you know,
we can do if we, someone comes.
Well, there is that in January, and you know, wants to put a bid in. It's just a worry, because now either they play so well that other clubs come and nick them, or they get injured.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a stressful time for me now.
I guess for players, Tom, like Josh Cullen, you know, they don't get, like, he does not get the chance to perform on the stage that he should do with West Ham, you know, because there are some very good West Ham midfielders. Mm. And so he probably does go slightly under the radar when he's playing here. Even in the Championship, yeah. I think you don't quite get the coverage that you would do, for example, with Ireland.
Yeah, 100%. Well, again, you go back to both of them. You watch any of the, or read any of the reports or the articles in the general national press after, and they just, you know, Josh Cullen brackets who's on loan at Charlton, and that's all you get. You don't really get reports of them week in, week out in the same way that you do in the Premier League, because it's the coverage there is just so much bigger than the rest of the league. And I know we're on Sky against Fulham. We'll probably be on, what, two or three times this season, maybe at most. That's the only opportunity a lot of casual fans really get to see them. Even I follow, you know, if you're going on and watching that, chances are you're a fan of the opposition, so you're not really paying that much attention to the players from the other team. So yeah, for them, they're going to be relishing that chance to play on that national stage, make a name for themselves, and particularly someone like Cullen, who I think probably we would all admit is frustrated that he didn't manage to break his way into West Ham over the summer, is going to see this as a real opportunity to make a statement to the West Ham management and say, well, look what I'm doing. I'm playing week in, week out at Charlton and doing very well and getting man of the match now for my national team. So, like Tell, obviously I'm nervous about January. The more he plays and the better he plays, but at the same time, we've just got to make sure we get the best out of him while he's here.
And we'll stay with you as our token Welshman about Johnny Williams, because I mean, he was, you know, he had some kind words, didn't he, from Ryan Giggs and from Gareth Bale during the international break. I mean, he is another player who, you know, with his fitness issues that he's had over the last couple of years, probably hasn't really had the chance to have the run of games that he's had with us over the course of the start of this season. And we can see what a player we've got on our hands there when he does get that run of fixtures in a row, because he was brilliant.
I've mentioned it a few times on the show about his performances in Euro 2016. And then obviously being the international break this weekend, I watched some of the highlights back of some of those games, and I don't know if he got man of the match in many of them, but he was running the show for those games as well. Obviously, they lost to England, but he was amazing against Belgium. Can't remember who they had in the round before that, but he was amazing against them as well. And yeah, at that point, I remember coming away from that tournament and thinking, what a player, I'd love to get him down here. Obviously, he then found out he was at Palace and was a bit annoyed. And then he kind of dropped off the radar for a few years. I know he went to Ipswich, didn't really do much. Obviously, anyone who's seen the Sunderland documentary will know enough about his time there as well. And so when he came here, I was happy because, one, he's a Welshman, and two, you know, I'd seen what he could do at Euro 2016, but we hadn't really had a chance to see it for, what, 2.5 years? But since he's had that run of games together and since Boya's given him that confidence back, he's just gone from strength to strength. And I watched the whole game over the weekend, or both of the Wales games, and he was just sensational. And he's playing with players like Bale and Ramsey, but he was easily able to keep up with them. And they're, you know, Bale in particular is a world-class player, and he was just as important to that Wales team as he was.
I mean, we saw a trademark Johnny Williams run, didn't we, when he set up the goal for Dan James, is a good finish it was. Now, Lewis, you've done some research as well, because obviously we're all talking about how the international break can be problematic in terms of players coming back injured, as we've seen with Lyle Taylor, or players accidentally being put in the shop window, like we've seen with the two we just mentioned. But also, for players who haven't, you know, play too much and need some fitness, any game is a bonus. And, you know, it's like the Checker Trade Trophy. International football is just as good at that as well. And our two Israeli chaps are out there and they got some minutes in.
They did, yeah. So I think it'd be important for, especially sort of Behram Kyle, because he's been injured, he's had a bit of a niggle. He's going to have to probably settle in a bit quicker. But that midfield at the moment, he's going to have one hell of a battle to get into it, isn't he? So I think he got about an hour, over an hour, over the two games, and then Hemed got 15 minutes as well for Israel. So it's all important stuff. You know, they're going to need that match sharpness, especially Hemed now, if the Lyle injury is as bad as the boot looks, which who knows. So he's gonna be important for us. So he's gonna have to get sharp pretty quickly. And then of course Kyle as well. He's got one hell of a reputation coming out of Brighton. So he can be important. But that midfield is performing fantastically at the moment. And we were saying earlier about, you know, the likes of Aaron Ostermer as well, sat on the bench waiting for his opportunity. It's going to take one hell of a performance to pull people out of that midfield at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis is talking about that midfield there, Nath. I mean, Berham Carl, we still haven't even seen him play in the Charlton shirt, but he's a player who comes so highly rated. We just try and work out. I mean, there are so many bodies in there that it's such a weird feeling to actually have that we've actually got a wealth of options to have in our midfield right now.
Yeah, I think for me, I think once Berham's fit, I think he'll probably be one of the first names on the team sheet for me. But I used to follow him at Celtic. He will be a very good player, and that's why I agree, because obviously when he came in, Bo said that he don't want to rush him, because there's no point, because we're, like Lou said, we're playing all right at the moment without him. But he's going to be a good player, and it's nice to have a headache, for Bo's to have a headache, and not have to force people to play when they're injured because others are coming in and doing so well. And it goes back to the whole Lyle thing. So even to some sort of extent, when you looked at maybe last year, the squad wasn't as big. But when Prattley was probably getting games, you probably had a lot of people, probably to an extent, including myself, thinking, Prattley's playing. But then he was probably our best player out of all the three games in the playoffs. So it gives people time to obviously try and put a claim to the spot. But it's nice to have that. And different, they're not all set the same players. Mm. We've got different calibres of players in every position. So you've got Solly. Now you've got Adam Matthews, an attacking fullback. You know, so we've got so many different options now, and we can play in so many different styles.
And that was the next point I was going to bring up. Obviously, again, during the international break, we have finally signed this Adam Matthews right-back cover for Solly. We talked about him just before we went on the break, about how he was sort of training with the club. I mean, you seem to know a little bit about him there, Nath, obviously former Sunderland player.
Yeah, so obviously he's a lot more... So you've got two... You've got, obviously, Puritan, who's more of a defensive-minded fullback. Pagey's more of a better delivery specialist in terms of a fullback, and it's the same now what we've got for Souls. Souls can whip a ball, and don't get me wrong, but Adam is a lot more. He prefers to go the other way, but he doesn't mind going the other way, and he's quick. And I just think it's a decent balance we've got now. Anthony was a good player, but his final ball was quite frustrating for me sometimes. It might take him a few games to get into his stride, but I think it's especially when you're having teams at home who may sit behind the ball, you're going to need someone to get in the wider areas. And if you're playing counter-attacks away from home, Adam can come in useful. So, all over the pitch, I think we've got two for each position and we haven't got any duds.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think will get the nod between Solly and Matthews then? Because that's it's early hard, to say, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Deji.
And of course, you've got Deji as well. Yeah, can
fully
play
fit
there, yeah.
Adam, I think Adam probably would nick it if once he's fully fit and if he's in form, in my opinion, just because of the amount he gives us going forward. But if you're going to come up against a tricky winger, which you've got lots in this league, you're going to want a Solly. Because 1v1, he's still one of the best defenders I've ever seen, 1-on-1.
Excellent. Right, let's start to turn our attention to the home game with Birmingham in just a moment time. But don't forget, on Sunday, the Charlton Athletic women's team are at home against the London City Lionesses, which is sort of Millwall rejects or something, I don't know. But a few former Charlton players involved in that as well. Ritesh Mishra, the Addicts manager, is looking ahead to the game. And I think he's expecting another tough one.
Tough weekend just gone. So I think that the best thing is that we've got no layoff this weekend. We're straight into a game, so we can almost forget a little bit about what happened this weekend and focus on what I think is going to be a very, very tough test. A good game. I think it will be an open match where both teams are going to try and win. So one that I think whoever's going to come down and watch will see an entertaining game. But I'd like, despite our two results, only 1 point so far, I am quite pleased with how we're playing. And we are getting better and better. And I think we are due a performance that gets a result with it. So I'm hoping that comes this Sunday.
Had a good form at home last season, remaining unbeaten until after Christmas. Are you looking to replicate that again this season?
Well, course, I hope so. It's not a place that many teams like come into play. And so we've got to kind of try and keep that atmosphere there. And the more people that come down and make it difficult for London City, the better. They've got a few familiar faces, so you know they'll be used to the surroundings. But I think the way we're playing at the moment, whoever comes down, we're going to try and make it as intimidating as we can. And it's an opportunity for us to try and score and get 3 points. That's our main aim this Sunday.
So Charlton haven't scored a goal yet. Do you think it's the case of once they score one, the goals will start flooding through?
I think so. I mean, we're playing better football than we did last year, in my opinion. We just haven't scored or, you know, converted our chances yet. But, you know, I'm very confident it will with the players we've got. We're playing a different kind of way, a slightly different style. You know, a lot of the focus this week is going to be on, you know, how can we convert those chances we create. But, you know, I'm not worried. We're still very early on. We're work in progress, but the goals will come.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Jansen bringing the ball forward, short, good challenge from Cullen, wins it back for Charlton. Can it come to Williams? Williams dives in, gets the ball, Williams on his feet, on a run, Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good, Gallagher shooting chance, Gallagher scores! Yeah! Oh, a whiff chance, first shot, goal! The Addicts take the lead, all down to the work and the determination of Johnny Williams, inside to Conor Gallagher, whose first touch was great and the finish was excellent, and Charlton have an unlikely lead.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Thursday evening, the big match preview. Just had a message on the Charlton Life forum, and Don Chris Asders has already asked about the injured players, but well, I think we've covered that now. Says that he was glad to have us back as well. Kiwi Valley says, assuming we lose Taylor in January, should we be doing things now to start building up Hemed's role in the team, Tom?
Yeah, and I think we will start doing that, but at the same point, we've got Taylor now, so you're not just going to bench him now because we might lose him in January. So, yes, I think we'll slowly start to bring him in. But like Lewis was talking about earlier, he's had a little bit of international football now. We've seen him a couple of times, but he still looks slightly off the pace. So, yeah, I think we will start to slowly bed him in. But again, if it's going to be a case of him taking the lead role and Taylor out, then you're just looking at bringing him in and taking Taylor off, because you're not necessarily playing both up front, because then when Taylor goes, he's left on his own. So it's a difficult one to manage. I think also behind the scenes, Gallen's going to be looking at, well, if Taylor goes, who do we get in? So they'll also be looking at other signings as well.
Right, Birmingham is coming up on Saturday here at the Valley, but in a couple of weeks' time, or in a few weeks' time, Nath, we're making the trip over to Fulham. Now, of course, as it is east to west along the Thames, there's a great excuse to have a boat party.
Yes. So obviously the skipper, Jim, who works on the river, has managed to organise a boat. He will be in and around the ground before the game, in between the Coverden and the Oak. So he'll be knocking around. There'll be loads of people buying tickets. He'll be on crossbars as well. I'm just trying to think what he told me. There is a bar on board which you'll be able to buy your alcohol. It's £10 a ticket. Any profits go to charity. What else have I missed? If you don't, because I know a lot of people are holding off buying the tickets. There's half of them are gone and they're going quite quick over the last couple of days. But if you can't get a ticket to the game, where it's disembarking, there's a pub literally about 30 steps away, and then you've got Putney around the corner. So even if I don't get a ticket, I'm going to do it because it all goes to charity. But yeah, so if you tweet me, and then I can give you Jim's Twitter handle if you don't already know it.
CAFC Jim.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you spot Jim in between the Oak and the Field? Will he have his skipper's outfit?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to ask him. So if he is listening, he's got to dress up as Captain Birdseye or something. He didn't know that, but he probably is going to now. But I'm not there Saturday, but I'll tweet out, and Jim will obviously tweet out, and I'll retweet it.
Yeah,
and
so
I'm sure
let Nathan know if you need to details
it's
for
a
tenner, the.
So it's nothing. Nothing. And it's a good crack. If anyone's not done it before, I strongly advise you because it's proper bounce.
That's the boat party to the Sky TV game at Fulham. I've done a couple of those before. They are good fun. So make sure you get in contact with either Nath on Twitter or at CFC Jim to speak to Jim, and make sure you get those tickets with the money going to charity. Right, Birmingham. Rolling on into town on Saturday. Obviously, we always try and grab hold of someone from the opposite team to tell us all about that. I spoke to the Birmingham Mail's Brian Dick to find out how Birmingham's start to the season has gone so far.
Yeah, there's two halves to the start, I suppose you could say, Louis. The first half is the points, and everyone's pretty pleased with 10 points by the first international break. It's the best total for a few years. They're at the right end of the table, and you know, it's sort of it's keeping any kind of pressure off. I think the other half of the situation though is the performances, the performances, particularly the two away displays at Swansea and Nottingham Forest, where they lost 3-0. They weren't great, and they didn't really show any kind of attacking threat at all. Really, they're struggling for loss of pace. They've lost to Isaac Vassell and Che Adams, two of their quicker players. So away from home, that's really causing them problems. At home, they've had passages of good play. But again, they're still kind of trying out and different personnel within those systems. It's still very much a work in progress. So the performance levels aren't where they'd want them to be. But the points turn probably is. It's okay without being spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, what were the expectations coming into the season? Because we know all about the off-field problems, the points deduction from last year. I mean, I imagine fans were probably expecting quite a difficult campaign that was coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, even if Gareth Monk had stayed, I think the fact, you know, we all knew they were going to lose Che Adams, and then they sold Jota as well. It was difficult to see a situation in which they were going to be a lot stronger, if indeed as strong. But then with the management change and the statement from the board saying that they, you know, they wanted to embrace a new modern footballing philosophy, which meant a change of style to a more possession based. That really did. I mean, you have to sort of temper your expectations then. You know, whilst there isn't necessarily the points deduction thing hanging over them again this season, you know, the fact that they are trying to restyle themselves, I think that's kind of left a lot of people not really knowing what to expect at all. The owners might be thinking that, you know, you can just flick the switch and guarantee a top six finish if you start passing the ball more, but, you know, I think a lot of other people, and certainly the evidence of the season so far, would suggest that it's just not going to be that easy. So, do you know what? If you were to offer me a comfortable upper mid-table finish and a good level of progress to being more possession-based and a more expansive side, if you were to offer me that at the end of the season, I'd probably take it now.
Mm. And you mentioned that the departure of Gary Monk, and it's left Plep Cloylet in... is he still in temporary charge? Is that still the case there?
Pep Clotet is, you say temporary charge. He's caretaker head coach, albeit they claim not to be looking for a replacement. It is Pep Clotet's job. Not really sure why there's the insistence on the caretaker title, because for all intents and purposes, he's the one running the show, at least in terms of preparing the team. on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, there has been a, with Gary Monk going, there has still been an element of continuity with Pep Clotet there, and two or three others of the backroom team have stayed as well.
So how would you describe the business that, that Birmingham did in the summer? I mean, I assume that the transfer embargo finished, so they were able to do some stuff.
Yeah, they were. So they actually spent quite a lot of money on a Croatian central midfielder called Ivan Sunjic, upwards of $6 million. So you know that figure puts it right up against the club record fee. So they clearly have been able to do business. They spent $750k on Dan Crowley from Willem in the Netherlands. They bought a couple of other players in as well from Spain, Alvaro Jimenez and Fran Villalba. So they have definitely, you know, they've bought a new style of players in to try and expedite this new sort of possession based philosophy that I was talking about. However, where they've left themselves really short is up front. Adams has gone, obviously. They then sold Isaac Vassell late on as well, which has left them with just Lucas Djukovic and this Alvaro Jimenez that I was talking about. So they've actually only got two senior strikers. To my mind, you know, that is a real... you'd say the transfer window had been pretty good or okay before that, but that, you know, that's a real point in the debit column on that front.
Yeah, so looking ahead to Saturday, obviously Charlton are in very good form, have had a great start to the season. Birmingham, I mean, as we've mentioned, their away form has been pretty poor, and they had that win on the opening day at Brentford. How do you see Saturday's game going? How do you think Birmingham will try and attack the game?
If indeed they do try and attack the game, one of the big criticisms of Swansea was that they were so defensive. I think a big part of that is the fact they just hadn't got that much pace in the side. Charlton will clearly be a different proposition to Swansea. They're not, you know, as far as I understand it, they're not as possession based as Swansea are. So I think the task will be different. Might be slightly better suited to Birmingham. However, I mean. Your guys' record at home. I did a quick check the other day, and if you take out the Doncaster playoff defeat, you have to go back a long while, don't you, for a defeat in the league at the Valley. So, on that basis and the momentum you've got, I think Blues are probably happy to come away with a point.
There we go, Brian Dick giving us the heads up on Saturday's opponents. He ends it in a lot more realistic way than Jonathan Lowe did, Tom. We forgot to organise that fight between you and the Reading journalist, Jonathan Lowe.
We never saw him, did we? That's a shame.
But he is talking about how Birmingham would be happy with a point, and that is kind of what I was hoping to hear, because I think their away record has been particularly poor. Now, we know they went to Brentford on the opening day of the season, won a game by somehow scoring a header from 25 yards out, and that was their only effort on goal throughout the whole game. And they've been battered 3-0 in each of the last three away games, including the cup games. So, you know, that's kind of the, you know, before getting too far ahead of yourselves, that's kind of what you want to hear, isn't it?
I love it. I think it's brilliant from us, yeah. And as players, that's exactly what you want to hear as well, because it's going to give you confidence going into that game. The Charlton players, that is. Birmingham players, obviously not. But, and I think, again, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, it's the respect we deserve at the moment, because best part of a year at home, we've had, what, one defeat? And, as he says, not counting the Doncaster one, which we're not, because Huddersfield didn't, did they, that time? So, we've got a very, very good home record, and they've got a very bad away record. So when you look at it like that on paper, it seems like it should be a result that you can call, but there's been the international break, and you just can't tell what's going to happen. But if I was a Charlton player and I heard that the Birmingham players or Birmingham fans coming down were a little bit nervous about coming here, it's got to give you confidence to try and build on what's already a very impressive home record.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about their away form, we talk about how they're going to come and sit behind us. Nave, do you think we've got the talent in the squad this year to get beyond that? Because I'd say even last year, I mean, especially towards the end of it, when teams were trying to do that, we'd still beat them 4-0. So, you know, with our home form, we've got to be seen as the favourites.
Yeah, I think we will be. The only worry I have is if Lyle don't play Saturday and they do sit behind the ball, is that we don't go too direct to Chucks or Hemed, whoever starts, if anyone.
You'd
starts.
Say if Williams or yeah. or Aaron or Zuma are on the pitch, you can't imagine we would go yeah. too direct, but because we've got two players who can carry the ball there.
Yeah, but it's in terms of like our fullbacks, it's easier to go direct. But I think we will be the favourites. Of course, we'll be, but the onus will be on us to attack teams. And I think in recent years we may have struggled, but like you say, we've got Williams and Osthuma who are clever on the ball and can create space and go and drive into different spaces. And I just think we need to just, you know, be respectful because it is a difficult league. But I think, yeah, for sure we'll be favourites, and a lot of teams won't want to come here because they know it's a different, difficult place to come, especially when the crowd are up and, you know, we get a fast start. So it should be a good game, but I'd consider us strong favourites, to be fair.
Obviously, Birmingham, a big club, but one that have had their problems over the last few years, Lewis. We saw that where they had that transfer embargo and that points deduction last year. Sort of had an all right start, as we heard there from Brian Dick. But at the same time, you know, with that away form, they will be there for the taking, you sort of feel. But they are backed by a sellout away end, which could always play its part here. I mean, Lee Bowyer knows all about Birmingham City. He's adored by Birmingham fans. Bowyer, he won the League Cup trophy in his time up there. I think he had two seasons there. So the atmosphere is going to be red hot, and that's going to be something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it'll be rocking from our end as well. It has been all season. So, yeah, it'd be a tasty affair, won't it? It's going to be pretty loud inside the valley. So it always makes a Saturday special, doesn't it, when you've got that atmosphere in there as well. So they'll bring a tough contest. I mean, I've no doubt Birmingham, we're not going to take them, you know, we're not going to take them for granted. It's going to be a tough test. Every game in this division will be. But I just fancy us at the moment. At home, I fancy us to beat anybody. And Birmingham have been a bit of a topsy-turvy club. You know, they lost Gary Monk in the summer, and they've got Pep Clatet there at the moment, which is, he had a bit of a poor spell at Oxford, I seem to remember. So he's been looking to prove himself. Their away form isn't great. So, it's, you know, all the signs are there for us to win it. I just want to get overconfident. I'm just going to take each game as it comes and you know, see when we win the league at the end of the season.
Yeah, comfortable 10-0 right. home win coming. Exactly, right, yeah. Lee Bowyer, of course, looked ahead to it from a more Charlton point of view. And this is what he had to say.
It's going to be different, really, to what we've faced so far. I think they're very solid out of possession, that they get into their shape really, really quickly, and we have to break them down. I think from the games that I've watched that they're very solid, and they've got players that can hurt you going the other way. For me, they've got a striker that's very good. Set pieces, they're good, but we have to be patient. We're going to have a lot of possession, I think, and we've got to move the ball quickly, because if we don't, then we're just playing to their hands. So yeah, if we do the things right, what we've done so far this season, then it'd be an interesting game. Obviously, the first goal will be massive. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a different challenge for us this weekend.
Deji Oshalaja obviously missed out at Reading, having picked up the injury the week before. Is he back fit?
Yeah, Deji's training. He trained Tuesday for the first day, so he'll train again today and tomorrow. So yeah, he needs to catch up a little bit. But yeah, he's back training now, which is good for us.
One of the other positives for the international break was Behram Kayal getting some minutes in both games, coming yeah. off the bench for Israel. That must step him up and get him closer to involvement.
Yeah. Again, that was the most important thing for him. I said to him before he went, look, we need you to go and play games, you know, like go and get some minutes under your belt and get a bit of sharpness back into you. That's all he was lacking. So hopefully I'll see him today. And he would have picked up a bit of sharpness, and which can only be positive for us. So we'll see where he's at. But yeah, that's been a plus for us.
And I'm assuming, obviously, Adam Matthews got his 90 minutes on Monday for the under-23s. But I'm guessing he needs to get a few more of those under his belt.
Yeah, he needs a couple more of them. He just needs the minutes. He missed pre-season. That's a lot to miss, you know. So, but yeah, slowly but surely, we'll get him up to speed and then start competing for the right back position.
There we go. There was Lee Bowyer looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Birmingham City. Terry, I mean, obviously, no Lyle Taylor. Do you think we've got adequate cover?
Yes, I do. I mean, because...
Well, I say obviously, it might not be Lyle Taylor. Exactly, nothing's obvious in this game.
a lot of our positive plays come from the work done in midfield and wide areas. I mean, take the first half against Forest when we were absolutely they couldn't live with us. It was all to do with the movement and the pressing. So if we can do that again, I'm not saying it doesn't matter who we got up top, because that's obviously not true. But I think the likes of Chucks and even Tom Hemed, if he does play, I think can feed off that type of service and that type of pressure football. Then I think, yeah, we'll be okay. But we've got to play, and obviously the midfield and defence and everybody's got to perform like that for that to work.
It's a tough one, Nave, to decide, I mean, which way we're going to go in a few certain areas. So we're going to look at the likes of Johnny Williams, who's been away on international duty and played really well. He's in the form of his life. But may well, he's had a couple of games or a couple of spells in the team with Wales. And then you've got Aaron Otzuma, who needs games, need fitness, but in the game he has played, has been brilliant. So you just wonder if there is going to be a little bit of switching between those two as the season goes on.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Obviously, like you say, Erhan needs some minutes. It wouldn't surprise me if Johnny starts and probably comes off after 70 minutes and gives Erhan 20. But yeah, like I said earlier, it's a nice situation to be in, because that first half against Forest, Oztuma was the best I've seen us play in a long, long time in terms of possession and pressing, like Tel was saying. But yeah, I think they'll need to change it up a bit. But it's nice to have that, two great players, quite different players, to sort of complement the way we play. And I think when you said earlier about, we're trying to beat teams at home, that's what I thought we always lacked. Even when we won League One, we had Dow Stevens and that, but we never really had that tricky sort of number 10. And I think that's what can win us games. And it's not really a bad situation to have one of them playing, is it? Really?
Now, one player perhaps who hasn't played as much as I guess he would have hoped at the moment is Naby Sarr. I was just thinking about that defence. Do you think really now that we've got our first choice centre halves, if we're playing two at the back, are now Piercy and Lockyer?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, and it's probably quite harsh on Naby because he was sensational last season, but it's one of those things where I think maybe Piercy's that bit more suited to Championship football. I think Naby can get caught flapping a couple of times. I think he thinks he has more time on the ball than he actually has, and in the Championship people are on the press so quickly, and I think it's just it's one of those heart in mouth players, isn't it? Where if he gets caught in possession, they're going to capitalise on those mistakes a lot more than someone would in League One. So I just think Piercy is a leader, and he's someone that you need when you're battling out, like we had with the Brentford game when we were really battling, weren't we, to get the 3 points. And you need someone like Jason Pearson that's going to throw himself in front of the ball and things like that. So, and Lockyer, at the start of the season, Nath said it really early on, he was becoming a bit of a scapegoat. But, I mean, look at him now. He's been fantastic. So,
yeah. And Bose was sort of talking earlier on, Tom, about how obviously the first goal is going to be very important in this game, because Birmingham do like to try and sit back and soak it up when they're away from home. And they did get that first goal at Brentford on the opening day and went on to win, albeit I think Brentford hit the crossbar two or three times. But, we've seen teams do that before. Do you think this season there is more of an ability to have a plan B, which we haven't had before?
Yeah, I do. I think we've got to have that patience now, and we've spoken about it in a couple of games already. The Brentford one that we played them, obviously being a prime example, where we managed to get that goal against the run of play and then hang on despite the chances they had. So yes, we do have to be patient. I think we've got the players that can pick a pass and can unlock a defence like that. And Boya said it himself there, the way you beat a team that are stubborn and sit back like that is moving the ball quickly, playing them. Eventually they will get out of position, space will open up, and then you need a player like an Otzuma or a Williams who can play the killer pass in, and you need someone like Lyle who'll take half a chance and put it away. And that's the way you break them down. And once you get that goal, they have to come out and they have to start playing a bit, and suddenly they're going to leave themselves exposed. So it is a crucial first goal, but I think it'll probably be us that gets it, and we've just got to bide our time. If we haven't scored in the first 10-15 minutes and we're knocking that door down, then just keep going and keep going and keep going, because we will get there. It's the same as we did against Forest in that first half.
And one thing we did see, Terry, at the Reading game, I know you weren't there, but I mean, we have shown that if we can get our noses in front, and Reading had to come out at us in that second half, I mean, we had the quality to pick them off and to get into their penalty area so many times in that second half. So if we can edge ahead and Birmingham start to open up and try and find an equaliser, I really think that we are going to have the ability to find a second goal.
Yeah, I agree with you, and more so than perhaps the teams they've played already. They were a goal down at home to Stoke and came back to win it 2-1. I think two quick goals in the last quarter of an hour. So they have the ability to come back at teams, but I don't think Stoke carry the threat that we do. And clearly, if we do get our noses in front, Birmingham don't seem to know what their best shape is. I mean, they started 5-3-2 and then they changed it again and then they're back to 4-4-2. So in the games they've played so far, they're still, I think, searching for the right formula. So if we can catch them cold, where they still don't know quite what their right formula is, then that'd be perfect. And I think certainly with the way we've played so far this season, we're quite capable of doing that.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick round robin of your predictions then, right to left. I know Terry won't do it because he doesn't do predictions, but Lewis?
2-0 Charlton.
2-0 Charlton, Tom?
4-0.
4-0 to the Addicts, Nath?
3-0.
3-0 Charlton, there we go, clean sweep. Birmingham. Clean sweep, yeah. Excellent stuff. Right, we run out of time on this evening's big match preview. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Birmingham. A comprehensive victory, according to all of our predictions. I hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. Thank you to Lewis, Tom, Terry and Nathan all for coming here.
Much love.
Yeah, mate, cheers.
And Terry for bringing new chairs to the studio.
And donuts.
And donuts as well. Yeah, he's like Father Christmas. I'm starting to wonder if Terry is Father Christmas just the rest of the year round. Like, yeah, excellent stuff. Right, so... we'll be back on Sunday. I've been Louis Mendes. I hope you've enjoyed listening to tonight's big match preview. Let's hope that the Addicts can continue their fine start to the season on Saturday afternoon. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.